Good afternoon, everyone. It's Thursday, the second Thursday of the month of November, and that is a wonderful time to be because there's no pleasure greater than being the commissioner of the Kentucky Fantasy Football State Championship than talking with Sean Ligon. How are you this afternoon, Cash Money Brother?
I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm excited because you know what? And Sean, we got it. I always tell you, and we're going to keep it tight. We're going to keep it. And here I'm already talking about college football, second sentence in. But, you know, with the MAC conference, which plays their own brand of strange football, and the Mountain West conference, we now have football every night. So every night of the week, we have live football somewhere. But none of it that we've seen lately is going to compare to our matchup that we have tonight. The Indianapolis Colts head down I-65 to take on the Tennessee Titans. This is one we've been waiting for, buddy.
Yeah, this seems a little better than the kind of last place battles we've had to kind of manufacture something to get excited about the last couple weeks. So at least we have some legitimate teams here. Should be a good game.
Oh, that last place battle, though, on Monday night was a sweetheart of a game, though. So, you know. You never know what you're going to get. So that's why it's such a pleasure to watch the games. I when we start talking about Indianapolis, I can talk about my favorite subject of 2020 and my favorite whipping boy of football. One, Philip Rivers, quarterback of the Indianapolis Colts. Now, Frank Wright decided that, and he is a wonderful offensive genius of the NFL. And he decided that his team had to throw the ball around in the air. And I remember his quote at his press conference at the end of last year. People around here are used to seeing passing football, and that's what we're going to give them. So he goes out and gets Philip Rivers. Sean, you will never convince me that that is the upgrade that they needed, and I'll tell you why. Last year, Jacoby Brissett, statistics, 18 touchdowns, 6 picks. He threw for 3,000 yards. I don't know how many starts that was over, but those were, in that sample set, that was good and impressive numbers. Now, the Colts this year, 60 yards additional passing offense per game. I tell you, John Ligon, that it hit 60 yards to nowhere. And we've seen the bad decision that Rivers makes. We see him make good decisions, but it is ruined by passes. Sean, are you on the page with me? You know where I'm going with this story. I've written books and chapters about it. Philip Rivers is not prepared to eat. Evidenced in what we see this Thursday night matchup against Tennessee Titans.
Yeah, I don't think Philip Rivers is starting for many fantasy teams anywhere, unless you're just a diehard, you know, Colts fan or one of Phillip's 13 children, possibly.
But well, other than that, been rostered, and that's what's amazing about it. And I guess lately he's made his way onto some rosters, and he has thrown up one 30-point game. But it's not right. A question of really of Philip Rivers or what he's done to fantasy football for the at the quarterback position, is what's happened at the running back and the wide receiver position. With the Colts are certainly a team that I identify with. One of my favorite players in the league's T.Y. Hilton, and you know, T.Y. Hilton's father time catches up with all players. He had a difficult year injury wise last year, but the demise of T.Y. Hilton, who should have watched his game be upgraded by this quarterback, has certainly gone the other direction. But, you know, I'm like Coach Reich. I like talking about the ball flying around. When you guys drafted at the KFFSC, Sean, you guys were interested in the Colts for their rushing game. And I kept seeing this player going up the board, Jonathan Taylor.
Yeah, I love the guy. I thought he was – you know, I'm definitely – you can count me in one of those guys that so far has been a swing and a miss on Jonathan Taylor. I thought he's coming into a team with a great offensive line. You know, like you said, on paper, possibly a veteran quarterback that shouldn't turn the ball over much. A good defense. It's a recipe for a running back to step right in, especially a running back with some pass-catching skills, which he, you know, right out of the gate, he caught six passes the first week for 67 yards. And you're thinking, this is fantastic. He didn't rush the ball much, and he was, but we were like, well, he's involved in the passing game. This is going to be great. And it just has not worked out. He's had a couple good games, but basically he's become a touchdown dependent running back in a three man split, which I just, it's perplexing to me, because to me, it seems like the other two backs combined can do what Taylor does, but Taylor,
the other two backs
be
being high.
Right. Well, yeah, exactly. And, you know, I mean, you know, Wilkins is the one that really is a little interesting to me. He's a good back, but I don't think he does anything particularly great. He's just a solid guy. It seems like every time Taylor makes a mistake, there's a very short lease. I understand Hines.
You know,
I was going to say Hines kind of plays the same role that Danny Woodhead played for Rivers in San Diego. So I get that. Uh-huh. He always wants one of those guys, but I don't get the Wilkins thing.
Well, that's very intuitive. And I, you know, if Woodhead was a beloved player in Rivers, he and Rivers were complemented each other's career. I'll have to watch this game closely and see if I see what you're seeing. My bet is I'll do. Now, where was Taylor going in the draft? Was it third round? Sometimes in the end of the second, or was it generally third round?
Yeah, I think you could mostly get him. Yeah, he fluctuated from, you know, at the very, very start of the draft. I think he probably, if he drafted really early, you may have got him in the fourth round. And then, like you said, the closer it got time, he kept moving up because people, you know, just kind of kept thinking he was all three of the big rookie running backs this year, quite honestly, have been pretty disappointing.
So if I had told you at the draft, because the next Colts running back off the board was not who we were talking about.
No.
It's not Hines. It's not Wilkins. The next Colts running back was Mack, Marlon Mack. And if I were to tell you, if I whisper in your ear, Sean, guess what? Marlon Mack is not going to be available for most of the season for the Indianapolis Colts. You would have probably jumped ahead and took Taylor even higher.
I would have. And, you know, I was one of those people that I did not handcuff Taylor on any of my teams with Mac. I just wasn't a believer in Mac. I felt like Mac got the minimum out of what he could have got last year. He's one of those guys that he'll get what's blocked for him. And he's not a bad player. I just think he's kind of their Sonny Michel, if you look at it that way.
Yep.
So
great football player, not really good for our fantasy work. And we go back to, you mentioned his success with Jacksonville right out of the gate for Taylor. He followed that up with his only 100-yard game of the year against Detroit Lions. So, and so it's been a while. He scored fantasy points, but he hasn't had that breakout game. And that's what you've got to have with the running back drafted that high. You don't expect a breakout game every week, and you occasionally expect a single-digit game. I mean, even I think Christian McCaffrey, when he got hurt, turned in a single-digit game.
Right.
But you can't stand – you can't go very far during the season with 12, 14, 16-point games. Now, Taylor tonight is paired up against a defense that historically we've learned to respect, but Tennessee is 17th ranked against the rushing defense, 27th ranked against the passing defense. But because of what we said about Phillip Rivers, their ranking in the passing defense doesn't bother me. I think Phillip Rivers will throw down to the level of competition. He had a breakout game against Detroit this year, but whenever Phillip Rivers has played against somebody that hit back, he's had 200-yard passing games and a lot of what we saw on Sunday. So that the problem with Tennessee's pass defense has not bothered me. They play some substantial quarterbacks, and what I've understood from what's going on in Tennessee the last 10 days, there's been players released, there's been players moved positions, there's players that have moved around on the depth chart. There's a new attitude on the defensive side of the ball that basically says, hey, we have to get something done. So, Sean, does it get done tonight against the Indianapolis Colts? And where do you see one fantasy start that players in the KFFSC didn't make last week that they might consider making on the Colts side of the ball?
Well, I guess you could go to the tight end position there because, you know, Mo Alie-Cox and Jack Doyle, both are going to be out. So I guess it's time, you know, Trey Burton, Phillip Rivers does seem to like one thing consistently. It's the tight end. He doesn't, you know, I kind of looked at all the receivers and it's not that any of the receivers, you know, they're all got potential, but they all get, he spreads the targets around so much. I don't know how you're going to predict that. They all seem to get 5 or 6 targets a game. You know, it's just, you can't predict where they're going to go. He really is not, you know, he has no favorite receiver on this team. It does not appear to me.
There's not a go-to guy because he's clicking with no one. And I tell you what, one of the reasons there's not a go-to guy, one of the, you know, I saw in that game where the Rams were beaten by Miami and the Rams had a chaser second half. Cooper Kupp got targeted 20 times, caught 11 balls, not a good percentage, but he got targeted 20 times. It's a situation where if Phillip Rivers targeted a receiver 20 times, he would end up, the receiver would end up in the hospital because Phillip Rivers will throw you into an injury. It's and that's why I think, and what does that remind you, Sean? It reminds me of what happened then, the San Diego Chargers, and last year, the Los Angeles Chargers, and what constantly was happening with Keenan Allen. Yeah. Keenan Allen looks like a completely different player because he knows where the ball is going to be. It's going to be in his catching window. You know, when we want to talk about wide receivers, when we want to talk about offense, let's flip it around. When the Tennessee Titans have the ball, the best player that we should look at, and there are excellent players on the offensive side of the ball, but the best player we should look at is linebacker Darius Leonard out of South Carolina State, 36th pick in the draft, middle linebacker, Indianapolis Colts. I'm glad to see him get another shot at having a nationally broadcast game and be the center of attention because this guy can play, Sean.
Yeah, he's really good. I came to my attention last year. Sometimes you see a guy just make a lot of tackles and you're like, well, maybe the rest of the defense is just not that good, but now he's just everywhere. He's a really good player, and like you said, it's nice to see him get the recognition that he deserved.
You know, so you take Derrick Henry, the force of the Derrick Henry third step, and you take Darius Leonard in pursuit on his third step. There's going to be two significant objects colliding on the field there. These guys are going to have a very physical game. Henry has had success with Colts in the past, but you know, the Colts third against the rush, third against the pass, yardage per game, third against their defense is third in both categories. I'm looking at their schedule, and maybe that's had something to do with that. And I'm looking at the way teams have beat them. And maybe that's had something to do with that. But the Colts are no fugazi on defense. They are a real thing. The quarterback, Tannehill, is gifted with a rushing attack. And he's gifted with wide receiver, Ole Miss Rebel, A.J. Brown. And Sean, I'm going to say something. You know, Brown and Metcalf came out in the same draft, same year, same school. I have always been an A.J. Brown guy, and I still am. And based on what we've seen from D.K. Metcalf, that's saying a hell of a lot about A.J. Brown.
Yeah, I agree. I'm right there with you. If somebody made me buy stock in one of their futures, I think they're both going to be really good. The only thing that Metcalf probably has an advantage over, you know, he's got a better quarterback, obviously. That's a difference, and he gets a lot more opportunity down the field. Tennessee, like you said, is still primarily a running team. Now, you know, A.J. Brown makes his hay with much less opportunity than Metcalf does.
Is this a game that, despite these gaudy numbers on the Colts' defense, and, you know, we've got some quarterbacks sidelined this week, both through injury and both through bye, is Tannehill a start that you would not have any hesitancy playing him in this game against the Colts?
I don't know. The Colts are – I believe in that Colts defense. I mean, of course I'm not sitting Brown because I think Brown's going to put up numbers against anybody. But if are some – you know, I would prefer – you know, I think you could stream guys like Drew Locke this week or, You know, I mean, I think there's better options out there. Especially, I hate to spend, I hate to have it happen on a Thursday night too, than have to sit there and look at 17 points all weekend. You know what I mean?
Oh, that's rough. And yeah, and I understand Drew Lock going. It remains a free agent in a lot of leagues, in a lot of our divisions, and is going up against the Raiders this weekend, where he's got some receivers, some rookie receivers that are they're showing off there with the Denver Broncos. You know what? So we're going to start Brown. Humphreys has been injury issues. I'm not sure even of his availability. Let's talk about the tight end position here in Tennessee. There appears to be two of them, but Johnny Smith still gets the first look from Tannehill. And Johnny Smith is a player, you know, full disclosure, I'm not a Johnny Smith guy because I'm tired of seeing when I play him, I'm tired of seeing that goose egg to 5 points. He seems like he scores touchdowns for every other fantasy owner but me. I'm holding a grudge against Johnny Smith.
Johnny Smith is definitely one of the guys that I would describe as, you know, how Dick Vitale always says the all-airport team. See this guy in the airport, you know, this guy should be an absolute monster. You know, like Chris Herndon for the Jets, another guy. You know, it just seems like these guys should be just killing it. And for some reason, you know, I mean, they like you said, they kind of tease us. They do great the weeks they're sitting on our bench, and they go off. You know, they just don't seem to produce in the matchups you would think they would. This is kind of a tough matchup, so you'll probably have a pretty good game.
Corey Davis is a player, a Tennessee Titan number two receiver. It looked like his year was getting back on track after a very difficult season last year. I'm a big Corey Davis fan. He was a late round draft pick. Very little draft capital on Corey Davis. He's been playing beyond his draft position, but put up a goose egg last week, and this week appears to have some issues, either personally related or physically related. He has not practiced. Corey Davis, I take it, Sean, until you see him return to more friendly numbers in this passing attack. Corey Davis to the bench.
Yeah, at least until we have some clarity on what kind of issue he's dealing with. And, you know, I don't see how – I wouldn't want to put him out there tonight against Indianapolis anyway, but certainly not under these circumstances.
Sean, our friends in the desert have this game listed as the Tennessee Titans, I believe, as this afternoon. As a 1-point favorite, do you see this game coming down to possibly being decided in the kicking game? And wouldn't that be appropriate, considering the issues that both teams have had at the kicking position?
Yeah, I would imagine this will be a low-scoring defensive tilt here. So I'm sure the kicking game will come in pretty big here. Yeah, I think this is going to be a pretty low-scoring game. I think this game opened around 2 and it's down to 1. So looks like a little bit of money's come in on the Colts, but it's going to be a close game tonight, I would say.
A close game tonight, so there's fantasy relevance. There's guys here that we're starting, we're expecting some big numbers with. What you think the defenses on both sides of the ball and in the passing game are going to stiffen against Phillip Rivers, they're going to stiffen against Derrick Henry, keep them out of the end zone, keep the points low. I'd like to see some touchdowns being scored, especially for everyone that are invested in Henry, in Brown. Perhaps you're playing one of the Indianapolis Colts receivers or plug and play. And if you listen to Sean, you're definitely going to put Trey Burton in the lineup. But a lot of these guys are touchdown dependent. Brown and Henry to a much, much lesser degree. Taylor, these are guys that can produce points within the 20s, but hey, Sean, we're in week 10 of KFFSC. We need to score some touchdowns.
I agree. I mean, I'm playing Taylor tonight. I'm not thrilled about it, but I'm definitely playing Taylor tonight. At this point, I still have to go with my read and go with his upside. I think the guy is due for a breakout game and might as well be tonight. You know what I mean? Might as well be tonight.
Because as we look into the future, I think things get much tougher. For the Colts moving forward, their schedule is unfavorable in the second half of the year, and it ends week 16. If you're playing Jonathan Taylor and trying to advance to win the KFFSC championship and be our 18th overall champion. Your Jonathan Taylor will be lining up week 16 versus the Pittsburgh Steelers. Sean, here's a question for you. When they do line up on week 16, will the Steelers be gunning for a 16-0 perfect season?
I don't think so. I think with Rob.
Yeah, I don't think so either, because they actually had to play by the NFL schedule week 17. Yeah. So I kind of blew that.
Well, but,
you don't think they'll get that far either way, huh?
Roethlisberger has been kind of gimpy lately. Kind of, older guy coming back from, being off. I think they're going to probably, not necessarily rest him, but if it comes down to it, I think they would rest him versus going for the perfect season for sure.
No way, Sean Lick. Really? No way. I got to come down there to the Madisonville and get you a tonic. You're into some stinking thinking. We're going to have to adjust that. They won't be resting anybody with the New York Jets, except in the fourth quarter, in the offense of the Jets, after what we saw last Monday night. So I'll flip it. Are the Jets going to be 0-16, John?
Boy, I tell you what, after they didn't win that game the other night, I think they want to be 0-16. Looks like they tried their best. Patriots are pretty bad, and they let that team come back on them. So I thought that was their best chance left to probably win a game. Honestly,
it was unusual play calling
.
In that fourth quarter, and from a professional team, we started the show talking about college football. I've watched a lot of college football as it's returned. And, if you sit down on a Tuesday or Wednesday night or a Friday and Saturday night and watch the MAC or the Mountain West, which lots of people will have an opportunity to do, considering we only have two SEC games this weekend. If you watch poor play calling and poor execution, you'll see that at the college level. And I think that's what we saw in the fourth quarter of that Jets game. Sean, anything you'd like to finish up with? We didn't get interrupted today, and so that's a wonderful thing. So we'll get this one posted and get it out. Anything you'd like to come with in your observations about fantasy football that leave with the audience before we say so long to this one and get back together?
Well,
on
we've
Monday.
Just kind of talked about these rookie running backs. Maybe it's time for, some of these rookie players seem to do a lot better towards the end of the year. So let's hope they finish strong and give us something to look forward to.
Rookie backs getting the opportunity all around the NFL, and backs who flashed before getting the opportunity around the NFL. We got some wonderful matchups this weekend. I'm interested to see what the Rams do against Seattle coming out of the bye. Want to see if the Raiders or the Browns are for real. Who's going to get that last AFC playoff spot as we move towards that? Can Miami be one of those teams that gets that spot? They entertain the Chargers. Entertain is a great word, because that's what you see when the Chargers play. You don't necessarily see a victory, but boy, oh boy. Are they fun to watch? That game, fantasy implications for that game, Sean, are off the hook. So it's going to be a great weekend. Thanks for getting it started with me, brother. And we'll talk again on Monday. Sean, give the listeners your pick. We've sent them to, we got to get the red off their paper. I believe on our advice for the games here, I am 1-2. I think you had an ill pick of Chicago. You're 0-3. Let's make an official pick and get our listeners back where they'll have a little pocket change. What do you say on picking tonight's game?
I think our buddy
game?
Phillip will make a couple turnovers, and that'll be enough for Tennessee to get the win and the cover.
Tennessee gets the win and the cover. Sean Liggett and I are on the same page. We're trying to find a casino that has will take a bet on Phillip Rivers under one half of a tackle. That's what we're trying to see. We're going to, God bless him. All right, no more making fun of Phillip Rivers. Sean, I'll see you Monday.
See you later.
Thank you, bud.
Mm-hmm.